Moncrief on News Talk.
As you know, as you possibly are painfully aware, it's still the case that hundreds of thousands of people around the country do not have power or water or neither, and don't necessarily know when those things are going to come back. But it's also a time when communities are coming together with GAA clubs, schools and businesses helping each other out. And all too often, they are helping strangers. There's no one stranger than Henry McKean, and he was the recipient of this kind of help. Good afternoon, Henry.
Good afternoon, Sean. And you're right, the kindness of strangers. There's some really good people out there, and we forget this. We sometimes think the world is full of pricks. I'm not sure if we can use that word. Is it a bad
just
word?
Did, so that's, I'm sorry. We're both in trouble now.
Yeah. And it's not true. There's some decent people out there. And as you know, I was covering the storm over the last few days, and I did get stuck in the EV in Athlone. I did my very, very best, but a lot of the electricity went down across Mayo, across Galway, across Roscommon, stroke Westmeath, Athlone.
And you'd know where to get a charge on the car then.
Yeah, they just wouldn't work because they were switched off.
Yeah.
And the supermarkets that were open, all these plazas that were open, they had generators to keep the burgers going and the pumps going for petrol, but not for EVs.
And I saw some of your pictures. People were queuing up for, like, it's the only place they could get food.
Yeah, massive. I've never seen such queues for supermarkets. And I know it's definitely a Galway thing. They love it out there. But they didn't have their stoves weren't working. Their electricity wasn't working. So they didn't really have the food in the fridge. Perhaps they couldn't cook it. It was frozen. So they all queued up or took a line to get into supermarkets to get something to eat. And there's still, in a lot of places across Ireland, still lots of people who are suffering.
I just heard from someone, I was just communicating with someone today where they've no water or power.
Yes.
Half the town there's no water or power. Trees are down, lines are down.
Yep.
Like, you can't get bottled water for love nor money.
Mm-hmm.
And that person I was talking to said that she'd, on Saturday, had logged on to the ESB and said, you know, we've no electricity. Mm-hmm. And the ESB said, we've no record of a fault in your area. I know they're overwhelmed, but I don't think she saw the funny side to
that
her.
That might
really
have been AI. And I don't think they were gaslighting. And it's true. I mean, when I drove across Mayo, Google Maps couldn't tell me that there was lots of trees in the way or loose electrical wires because it can't. And I want to say, you know, I stopped at Dan's Tavern and I met Paul O'Donovan. So he was the barman. And I walked in with a wire. I had a big wire. And it was a Friday night. And there was lots of people, enjoying their night. And they were like, come on, sit down, have a Guinness. We've got the best Guinness. And the Guinness looked amazing. I said, look, can I just put a wire through your window to get the car started, charged? And they said, no problem. And they really, really helped me. And then Paul actually, which actually kind of caught me a little bit, you know, it was such a lovely gesture. He gave me his steak dinner that his wife had prepared for him on a gas stove because there was no power at home. And he microwaved it up for me. And I ate his steak and his mash that he was supposed to eat. He insisted on it. He said he wasn't hungry. And I feel terrible that I took his dinner. So I just want to, a huge, huge thank you. And, you know, people are sometimes in a spot of bother. And my issue was nothing compared to what people out there are suffering. Mine was just a small inconvenience.
How many Guinnesses did it take to get the car charged?
I was tempted to turn it into a lock-in. But no, I actually didn't have anything to drink until Saturday night. But we won't talk about Saturday night. But I made up for it then. But anyway, here is Paul Donovan joining us from Athlone.
Thank you for the other night when you called into the pub with 0% left in your car, 0% left in your tummy. As I said to you, we were delighted that you called into us. We were only delighted to help all our neighbours and all that had no power on the night. Like, it's what communities do and all of that. Like, so we have people calling into us there, charging phones, charging power banks and water and all of that. And when you arrived in yourself the other night, we were only delighted to give you a hand out as well, with charging your car and also charging your own energy by giving you a dinner. We hope that it got you to where you could go anyway after a while. As I said, it's all about community spirit and all of that, and we hope that we looked after you properly anyway, Henry, and thanks very much for that. Nobody, you're more than welcome.
There you go. Paul Donovan there from Dan's Tavern in Athlone. When you were travelling around though, Henry, you'd, because another thing people don't have, obviously the power goes down, you have no internet connection. Yes. And in a lot of places, even the data is spotty on people's phones.
Oh, absolutely. The mobiles went down when I was in Mayo at the Connacht Centre of Excellence. Electricity stayed up, and that could have been a generator, but the landlines went, the mobiles went, the data went, the Wi-Fi went, and everyone was so helpful. Like, I was given a Kit Kat Chunky and a cup of coffee by the people.
That's a wish of your heart, isn't it? Kit Kat Chunky.
And what a generous gesture when they just lost their 3 million euro dome to these extremely
like
180 kilometre.
Blew off it, kind of thing.
Completely blew off. And they nearly actually died. They actually nearly were killed. They were in it just half an hour beforehand and they made the decision to leave. They knew the wind might take it. So they started moving the air pressure inside it, but it didn't work and it was whipped down. And I saw the CCTV footage and it would have killed quite a few people. It really would have. But again, I want to say thank you to this guy called Dom, who took me to his house to try and get an internet connection, because obviously to communicate in radio, we do need sometimes internet or
to send back your reports.
To send
stuff
back. And like, just to say, I know there's lots of people out there that are listening in their cars. They've got no electricity, no broadband, but FM is still working in many areas and people can listen to us. And I know a lot of them are probably feeling quite stranded. And I just wanted to show solidarity. I can't help you, but I can come along and be a hindrance. Anyway, we're here in Dublin right now. And I met this lady who says the kindness of strangers has helped her so much.
I would not be here if it was not for the kindness of people.
And who has been kind to you? I know it's difficult to say. How have they helped your life?
I have had periods of really pushing away, and an awful lot of people have stayed with me. And, you know, I've ignored them and they're still there when I'm ready.
So these people are there to help you no
just
matter
to be
what?
There, just to be there, just to still talk to me.
And you kind of know who your real friends are when you are in trouble. Who comes to help?
Well, you know, to be honest, I don't think that's true in the sense that my real friends all live far away from me now. And the people who gave me like a hot cup of coffee were my neighbours that I don't know that well. Do you know, so I do think there's a lot of kindness and people are very delighted to get the opportunity to fulfil their own drive to kindness. But they're leery of consequences, getting too involved.
So they don't want to get too involved, but they'll give you the cup of tea or the cup of coffee and they'll help you with power. And when we take the 200,000 people right now across Ireland with no electricity, internet or water, they're coming together. But you think, you know, they'll be there for that moment, but they might not be there for another moment?
They will be there and they'll be there for very serious incidences, but they do not want to be taken advantage of, and that makes them wary.
There you go there. Henry needs a chopper, not an EV. One texter says.
Well, they're not good in high winds.
You would have plunged to your doom without a shadow of a doubt. Plus all this expensive, you know, flying lessons you'd have to do.
Well, choppers are extremely expensive. I think they're like 20 million or something.
Yeah. Spare a thought for those of us on the road. I left the West at 6 a.m. this morning, 500 kilometres later and multiple attempts for a pee stop. Steve eventually got to relieve himself in Galway Plaza. So glad to hear that. Another thing is that homeless people, it's been it's a nightmare if you're homeless anyway, but homeless people, especially people who might be rough sleepers, given the weather we've had over the last 2 weeks.
Oh, I mean, it's horrific. Even we go back to the snow there a few weeks ago. It's so hard for them. It's hard for them all the time. It's very, very hard. And I'm glad that guy found a place to go for a wee. And like that, on the M4, M6, the other day, Saturday, they were still shut. A lot of these service stations were still shut, which is saying something. And some people might have had to do a bush wee, as they call them.
Yes,
you go into I think it's an Australian phrase, actually, from Bluey, bushwee.
Yeah, well, bushwee, that's nice. Yeah. That makes it sound quite pleasant, then, rather than you're standing with cars zipping past you, beeping their horn.
But there's nothing wrong with a bushwee now and again. But lots of people are struggling. I met this guy coming out of homelessness. Here is Mihol.
The South Korean charity, they fed me on Christmas Day. I've never seen them before. And the Muslim homeless charity, the Brazilian homeless charity.
And they fed you. So a lot of people have been good to you.
Well, my mother, my father, my family brought me up to be a man through all the hard times, you know what I mean? Like, it was 10 years ago, I spent 10 years in jail. You know, I was an ex-heroin addict, but it caused a lot of trouble. But I got over that.
You got over the heroin?
Oh, thank God, I bet that.
And what was it like being in jail?
I'll be honest with you. At the time, it was the buckets and all that, you know what I mean? But
so
I seen the transition.
Out, so you had
to.
use the bathroom in a bucket?
I was used to being 6-men room, 7-men room in a bucket.
So that's tough.
It was tough, and there was a lot of tomfoolery, let's say, you know what I mean? No one talks about what happens in jails and boys' homes. But I missed the boys' home, but I got to talking to a lot of people about all the stuff. But most of the people that I knew suffered from abuse are all on methadone, heavy doses of it. And I remember being on it. I was on enough daily dose that'd probably keep you and me now, because I'm off it now so long. We'd keep us stoned for about 3-4 weeks, and like, there's no benefit in that.
So people have been kind to you, and you're trying to be kind back.
I want to give out, and I'd love to help out in the recovery and the business and charities. But when I ask to do a charity, like, it's 10 years since I've been in prison, they have to do a Garda check. Even though they know me, I have a passport, a driving license, and I'd love to give back. But they won't.
But you do have somewhere to sleep. You've got a...
No, I have a warm bed and everything. Do you know, though, in jail, I was looked after better than I was in a hostel. I can't make a cup of tea. I don't have a chair.
So they looked after you in jail?
Better.
But they were kind, the prison guards?
Well, look at the good and bad
prison
everywhere.
Officers, I should
good
say.
And bad and everywhere. There was a lot of drug problems there, and I have no idea how it got in.
Well, Michael, thank you.
It was a pleasure. It's great to get my voice heard, you know, the liberty of it all.
God, that's interesting. He was better treated in prison than he was in a homeless hostel.
Yeah, I actually think Irish prisons get a bad rap, but the prisoners are looked after. And, you know, there is kindness from the prison officers, definitely.
Yeah.
I definitely think so.
Not everyone would be happy to hear that. They'd want to hear cruelty from prison officers.
Well, this is it. I mean, we live in a world where news has to be negative and miserable, but there, as we said, there's some good people. There's some really, really lovely people out there, for sure.
Yeah. And did you bump into any people who found themselves in a similar situation to you in terms of running out of fuel in the car?
I did. I met a couple, a young couple in an EV who were on their way to a removal. And obviously they never made it to the removal. Their car died at the Galway Plaza. And I don't know if they're still there or not. So, yeah, people are really, really struggling in EVs, through no fault of their own. I mean, this is a national weather, you could say, disaster on a massive scale. You know, we haven't seen anything like it since 1961, since Storm Debbie. But anyway, I met this lady in Dublin. She's absolutely fine now. She talks about phones, but also she talks about running out of petrol.
People are very engrossed and in their phones, and it's something we're all caught up on. I don't know how this can change, really, but what was the kindest thing someone did for me? It was, I ran out of petrol years ago at a busy time, and while some were hooting and looking very angrily at me, and I know it was a pretty dumb thing of me to do.
And where were you? Tell us.
I was under the Nine Arches on Milltown Road, which I don't know whether you know that road, but it's a narrow stretch of the road. And this man came along, and he either had a container or I had one, and he went to the nearest garage and put some petrol in it. And I thanked him profusely. I think I even offered him money to buy himself a pint, and he wouldn't take it. So that was lovely.
So there's some really good people out there, isn't there?
There are. And any time I think of that man, I always say a prayer for him.
You say a prayer?
Yeah.
And do you think that helps him?
I do. I believe in the power of prayer, yeah.
So he, in a way, he's lucky now, because you're praying for him all the time when you think about him.
Yeah, I suppose it is. And I believe that old-fashioned saying, what goes around comes around, you know.
So you've got to be a good person. You've got to help. And you've got to pay back.
You do,
or
I think.
As the Americans say, pay it forward.
Yeah, that's true.
That's absolutely... Henry was... During that clip, Henry and I were talking about some of the damage and the force of the wind. And you were saying it went through like double glazed windows.
Yeah, so the apartments in Salt Hill, it just crashed right through. I mean, these winds were 183 kilometres gusting at, and bus stops as well, bus shelters. The sheer force of the wind just smashed through. So there was glass everywhere. It really was extremely bad in many parts of the country. And I think in Dublin, we lost a little bit of our fence. That's it. I mean, it was not as bad here.
Oh, no, it was nothing like it, really. And you could see how people who live outside Dublin go, once again, Dublin gets away with it, you know, which we totally
we
did.
We do.
No doubt about it. One texter says, that brings a new meaning to range anxiety. I'll never get an electric car because of it. I would hate to be stranded in rural Ireland and left completely stuck.
Well, it's not range anxiety. I call it, does the charger work anxiety?
Yes, it's more to the point rather than the car itself. Anyway, there's nothing wrong with being stuck in rural Ireland. It's a lovely place, as Henry's just been telling you.
Oh, it's
and
beautiful
people are
people.
Kind.
They are kind.
One of the easiest ways for somebody to be kind is to pay for someone else's coffee. I do it every week and I love to see someone smile. It's something so simple, but so worthwhile. That's interesting. And is it always just a, I wonder, is it always a positive reaction? Or if you're standing in a queue getting your coffee and you go, no, I'll pay for that. They go, why?
Well, absolutely.
Why are you doing that? Are you a weirdo?
Especially Irish people, we're not great at taking a compliment. We're not great at taking something for free. We think there's a catch.
Yeah.
Why did this person pay it forward, as the Americans say?
Yeah.
What do they want out of me? What's the catch? Do they want to
sell me something, or convert me to some weird religion?
Yes.
Yeah, that's usually what it is. I'm heavily pregnant, and you would be amazed at the amount of people who are stuck on their phones in public transport and don't even look up to see if I need a seat. I've taken to asking loudly, and then the kind people come out of the woodwork. Yeah, you kind of have to do that. Actually, if you're very heavily pregnant, I've seen women do this certainly on the dart. Just basically stick your tummy in their face and go, can I have your seat, please? And they can't really say no then.
Must try that one.
One of the kindest things somebody did for me was to write me a lovely letter after my mother's death. It was from a neighbour I didn't know that well. And I just thought it was something that was so kind to do. Indeed, it was.
That is a lovely thing to do.
That is a lovely thing to
do.
And
I admit I'm not great. When someone loses a loved one, how do you talk to them about it? Do you send them a text? Do you write to them? And if you find out later on, like sometimes I would find out a few weeks later, one of their relatives died, a mum or a dad. And I'm like, how do I now approach this? What do I do? And the best thing to do is just to use the American phrase, reach out.
Yeah, reach out. Oh, that writing a letter is a lovely idea because a lot of the time it's around the time of the funeral and everyone says sorry for your trouble and that's great. But then 2 weeks later, everyone's kind of forgotten about it.
Yes, they've moved on and that person hasn't.
Yeah.
And they'll appreciate it.
Henry, thanks a million. As ever, Henry McKean there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.